Podcast 105, The Lost Sheep and the Lost Coin. The Gospel reading for this podcast is Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 10. Today's Gospel reading continues the record of Jesus' teaching while he is on his way to his final destiny in Jerusalem. As I've mentioned in previous sermons about Luke, this scripture passage is part of the middle section of Luke's Gospel, about a third of the whole Gospel of Luke, that scholars call the travel narrative. This part consists of three parables with a consistent theme, the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost or prodigal son. Today, we will be focusing on the first two parables in this section of Scripture, the lost sheep and the lost coin. In this part of Luke's Gospel, Jesus is speaking to the tax collectors and sinners, the outcasts of society. And hanging around on the fringes and grumbling about this are the Pharisees and teachers of the law. So the audience for these two parables is particularly sharply divided. On the one hand, the religious and devout Jews. On the other, the marginalized and rejected people of the society. The first parable is about a lost sheep. Note that 100 sheep was quite a large flock for that day and would have probably required a hired shepherd or a family member to look after the flock. But in this parable, the person who goes looking for the lost sheep is clearly the owner of the flock. He cares enough that he goes himself to look for the sheep. He doesn't leave the job to the hired hand or the other family member. Also note that this is a parable for the men in the audience, as shepherds were always male. So the core pattern established in this first parable is also present in the other two parables, which all follow the same pattern. Firstly, someone or something, in this case a sheep, is lost. Secondly, they are valued and missed, and effort is made to recover them, despite the fact that they are the minority. There are 99 other sheep that are not lost. And thirdly, when the lost animal, thing, or person is recovered, there is rejoicing, not just by the individual who has recovered them, but by neighbours and others who are called to rejoice as well. And Jesus has a moral to this story that he restates several times. And in Luke 15, verse 7, he says it for the first time. In the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. And I just want to pause for a moment here and reflect on what the Pharisees and teachers of the law thought when they heard these words, and what the tax collectors and sinners thought. The next parable is the parable of the lost coin. Note that this parable is a parable for women listening to Jesus. So Jesus, in this one sequence, tells parables that have both a male focus, the parable of the shepherd, and a female focus, the parable of the lost coin. And looking at this parable, we need to know some background about the coins the woman is wearing. What was the significance of these 10 silver coins? And what was the big deal about losing just one coin? Why was she so joyful and delighted when she found the coin and rushed to tell her friends and neighbours about it? So the 10 silver coins were bound together as a dowry and a headdress for a woman to wear on her forehead, and she wore these from her wedding day and thereafter. She would wear this piece of jewellery daily, even while she slept. This was her personal property. It formed a financial support, a sort of emergency fund, for her family if needed, and they also indicated her status, showing her wealth and her faithfulness. That was why she was so anxious to ensure that every coin was there intact and in place. If a bride used any one coin for financial transactions without her husband's knowledge or approval, it would reflect very badly on her character. Her husband could even take this missing coin to be a reason for divorce. So the coin meant much more to her than just the value of the money. For her to lose it would be losing face in her community and to become shameful before her husband. So, on losing a coin, she must make a desperate search to find it again. This is not just about the value of the coin. Her status in the community and her marriage depend on finding this coin. So she sweeps the whole house, searching for not just a bit of metal. She is searching for her right to have a home, shelter, and respectability. Her right to have a safe and honourable place in society. Her right to mother her children and to be a wife to her husband. Thus, when she finally finds the lost coin, she is overwhelmed with joy, and she wants her friends and neighbours to celebrate and rejoice with her. So Jesus then repeats at the end of this parable the statement he made for the parable of the lost sheep. There is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. From these parables, we can see how passionate God is about seeking and restoring the lost ones. And that's a real challenge for us, to know that passion for ourselves and for the lost ones in our family, in our workplace, in our retirement village, or in our various clubs and other organizations we belong to. What lessons can we draw from these two parables? I think there are three, but you may think of more. Firstly, God is passionately concerned about bringing those who are lost back to himself. Secondly, God is also intensely concerned for every individual person who does not know him. And thirdly, all heaven has a party when someone repents, turns to God, and commits to follow him.